My text tonight is taken from the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and verse 22. The 19th chapter of John, and the 22nd verse. I wonder if you've ever heard a sermon, a discourse on it before. The words are these: "What I have written, I have written." John 19, verse 22. These are the words of Pilate. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And he's answering the Jews. The Jews who've just got their way and had the sentence passed upon the Lord Jesus Christ that he should be crucified. They've got their way with this Roman legislator, this consul, whatever he is. And he has just written the placard that is going to be nailed to the top of the cross, the tree, the stake upon which Christ is to be crucified. The placard gave the crowd all the details that they needed to know why this man, this criminal, was being crucified. And this is what Pilate had written. It's in verse 19. He prepared a notice and fastened it to the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the Jews did not like that. They got their way and they had Christ to be crucified, but this spoiled it all. Don't say, don't put that. No. It was written in Aramaic, it says, verse 20, Latin and Greek. Pilate was making sure that everybody who passed that way could read it and understand it. "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now the Jews said, "Don't write that." No. The chief priests, they protested, verse 21. "Don't write the King of the Jews. Wait for it. Write this. This man claimed to be the King of the Jews." If only Pilate could have been persuaded to write that, just to put that word in, claimed. From then on they could have said, "There you are, this is what happens to a man who's stupid enough, arrogant enough, blasphemous enough to be claiming that he's the King of the Jews. This is a warning to you all. If you go this way and start claiming to be the King of the Jews or whatever, this is the treatment you will get." You see, they would have loved it. And Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." Get lost. That's what I've written in the Aramaic, Hebrew, Latin and Greek. And everybody's going to know it. And praise God, through the efforts of a man like Wycliffe and Tyndale and others now, here is this old gaffer in this pulpit tonight, and he's saying it too. And you're hearing it. And if there's a recording, wherever it ends up, they're going to hear it too. This man did not claim to be the King of the Jews. This man is the King of the Jews. "And what I have written," he said, "I have written." Now, I've long been interested in Pilate. He's a remarkable character, I think. Remember, he represents the Roman law. It's justice. And it's fairness. You know, this is one of the great features of Roman thing. Roman law has come into European law wholesale. Roman law is everything. Yeah, great. Look at the miserable man this is. Did you ever see a more abject figure than Pilate? Read these passages. And you'll see him squirming all the way. Wriggling. And he's being pushed all the way. Until the end, he crucifies a man he knows is innocent. And he thinks he can get away with it by saying, I'll wash my hands of it. And it's come down in history, washing our hands. Getting round it. It won't work, Pilate. He is the most abject figure I can think of. I have nothing but contempt for this man. And yet, at the very end, he gets his own back. That's what he's doing here. He doesn't believe a word of it. I'm sure of it. I don't think he thinks he's the king of the Jews at all. I'm not interested in Pilate. Pilate was scoring off the Jews. He was rubbing salt into the wound. He was saying, you've got your way, but take this. This man is the king of the Jews. But you know, I'm reminded of Joseph in Egypt. Do you remember Joseph in Egypt? Do you remember when all the trials and troubles were over and the brothers came to him? And they were scared out of their wits when they found out that Joseph, the man they had sold into Egypt, they were scared that now he was ruler in Egypt, that he would destroy them. Remember what he said? You intended it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'll say to Pilate, you meant to get your own back on the Jews. You meant this, you meant that. I'll tell you what, though, God had his hand on you, and you have written far more than you know. He's written a truth that you need to hear, and I need to hear. What I have written, I have written. One of the most glorious statements in all history. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean it in the full sense of the word. I don't care about it. God meant it. Now, this is another of my discourses in the series, The Watershed of the Ages. And the point I have been making all along is this. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, has been predicting time and time and time again. I read a passage tonight, Psalm 2. Predicting time and time again the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the finest, most precise detail. And in the fullness of time, and that's what the Bible says, in the fullness of time, at the very day that God had planned, that event took place. And the Son of God came into the world. Now the prophecies are largely taken up with the idea of the coming of the King. And I started this series of discourses, I know not in this chapel, somewhere else, but I did start this series of discourses by asking the question, what was the most common subject in the ministry of Christ? And there's no doubt about it. You can check it if you've got a concordance or if you're on the internet, put a search engine in and you'll see. There's no doubt about it. The word is kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom comes everywhere in his discourses through the gospel. The parables of the kingdom. The kingdom is like that. Not see the kingdom, enter the kingdom. The kingdom is within you. Kingdom, 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 all the way through. There's only one thing the Jehovah's Witnesses get right. They talk about Kingdom Hall. Well, they got that right. It is a kingdom. I wish they knew the king, though. It's the king of the kingdom. It's not so much the kingdom. It's the king. And who is the king? It's King Jesus. Hail thou Galilean king. When he comes again, my friend, he'll have a name written on him. And that name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when you come to Luke 1 and 2, you remember the watershed of the ages. If you read those chapters again for yourself, you'll see it's talking about the birth of the king. And I made another point in another discourse. I don't know if it was here or not. I don't think it was. The upside down nature of this kingdom. What king is born in a stable? The king of the Jews is. Prince George, whoever his name is. Or Princess Charles, I don't know, I'm not up in all this sort of thing, you'll have to tell me, forgive me if I get it wrong. But all these princes and princesses, they're born in royal chambers, aren't they? They got the best of consultants. I dare say if the Queen has to have her toenails cut, they get the world's greatest chiropodist in to do it, you know. The King of Kings, though, is born amongst cattle. And laid in a manger. The upside down nature of the kingdom. And look at his life. Did he live the life of a king? I have nowhere to lay my head. We owe the temple tax. I haven't got a bean. Get this fish out of the water and find some money to pay the tax. I can't pay it. Is that a king? Tired and weary in the midday sun, sitting on the well, talking to a woman of Samaria. No, it doesn't look like it, but it is the King of Kings. But tonight, my subject is the other end of his life. Not the birth, nor the passage through his life, but the end. Let me just give you a skim over that trial. Pilate again. Let me just give you a quick rundown of it. What was the first question that came up in the trial when Pilate got his hands on it? It appears in all four Gospels. Why? Any other guess? It appears in all four Gospels. God is telling me something. And the first opening question you'll find in 18:33. John 18, verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, what's the first question? Art thou the King of the Jews? He's got it in one. He's got it in one. He knows this is the issue. Art thou the King of the Jews? Verse 36. Here's Christ's reply. This is only skimming over, okay? Verse 36. My kingdom. Oh, wham. Here is this man on trial. And he looks Pilate in the eye and he says to him, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. You see, I have a kingdom, I am a king, but I've got an upside down kingdom. My kingdom, I don't fight with weapons, physical. I don't do what the kings do. I'm not like them. I was born in a stable. And now, I'm going to go to my throne. But it isn't like the thrones of the kings that you know about. It isn't like that emperor up in Rome. It isn't like his throne. It isn't like Solomon's either. You know, I was trying to think of how I could illustrate this to you. And you must have seen the pictures, the films. I've seen it. Do you remember those videos, those films they've shown? Do you remember when, I think it was King Edward VIII abdicated. And then George VI became king in 1937, was it? Something like that? Yep. Well, you remember, I don't know where it is. I think it's the palace in James's Palace, I think. I'm not sure. But there's a balcony. And this flunky comes on, dressed up in all his garbs, with, you know, all that sort of old-fashioned stuff. And there's trumpeters there, and I don't know what else doing. And remember, he reads out, and he says, "It pleased Almighty God," of his whatever it is, and he goes on. And he says, "Tom, Dick, Harry," all the names. It's a great long list of names that he reads. Call him into wherever it is, and now we're going to have, and he gives another long list of names, David, Bertie, whatever, all the rest of it. great fuss, and it'll be in a few years' time, whenever it is, when Elizabeth dies, they'd be like that for Charles, won't it? Unless they jump on to the next chat. This is happening here. But it's not like the kings of the earth. My kingdom is not of this world. But now my kingdom is from another place. Verse 37, you are a king then. That's Pilate. Verse 37, you're right, says Jesus, in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. You see, I wasn't making it up. Why was Jesus born? Because he is a king. And he came to do a king's work. And for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And so on. 39. Pilate goes out. And this is what he asked the Jews. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? 19 verse 3. The soldiers have got their hands on Christ. And what do they do to mock him? Hail, king of the Jews. And they struck him in the face. Verse 14 of chapter 19. Pilate brings him out. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. Verse 15. We have no king but Caesar. You're getting the message here. It's coming over pretty thick and fast, isn't it? 19 to 21. Jesus, Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Don't say that. Don't say the king of the Jews. This man claimed to be the king of the Jews. What I have written, I have written. And he is the king of the Jews. The idea of kingship, the word kingship, does not appear in Luke 24, verse 26. But when on the Emmaus Road, after his resurrection, Jesus explains to the disciples there. Remember they said, we hope, you see, we thought this was a king. We thought he was going to deliver us, you know. But it didn't turn out like that. Jesus says to them, oh, you fools. Have you never read the Old Testament? And beginning with Moses and the prophets and all through the law and all the rest of it, he showed in all the scriptures himself. And what did he say? You see, it was necessary for the Messiah, the King, to suffer and so enter into his glory. If you read the Gospels, you'll see he told them over and over again that he was going to suffer. But they didn't listen to it, they didn't understand it, they didn't appreciate it, they didn't realize it. It was only afterwards they realized what had happened. The sufferings of Christ, my friend, the cross of Christ is the culmination of this kingship business. This is what he says here. This is the reason I was born. I'm a king. And I've come to set up my kingdom. Well, a king has a throne, doesn't he? If you want to see the throne of Jesus, then in your mind's eye, this is what you've got to see. Not some fancy bit of silver cross, but the rugged cross, stake, tree, whatever you like to call it. Rough hewn. That man nailed to that cross is there on his throne. He hasn't finished with the world. He's coming back in great glory. I've said that. And he's going to ride in such power and glory that he will come in a different form altogether. No longer will he be abjectly crucified. He will come in judgment power. I've read that to you in Psalm 2. He shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. But this is the day of the gospel, and the day of the gospel is, look at the cross. Behold him there. And see in that man on the cross, the king. Now you'll say, well, he's the king of the Jews. Well, you have to ask yourself this. Of course, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, of course, Israel was that special people of God. Now, I know some of you are not going to like what I say now, but I can only speak what I see, can't I? As I read my New Testament, and I could give you chapter and verse for it, Romans 2, 28 to 29, Philippians 3, 3, 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, and so on, I could read to you many such passages where I read this. That Christ is not only the king of, as it were, that nation of Israel, that small nation in the Middle East. But the Israel now, the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16. Christ is the king of all his people. In other words, the children of Abraham. In other words, true believers. Galatians chapter 3. Those of you who want to see in this some future kingdom, I hope you will stay with me long enough to allow that in this gospel age, I can preach Christ as king. Because I'm going to. What do you mean? Christ is king. Kings rule. Kings reign. Kings govern. Kings have majesty. And I tell you, the Savior I preach to you, although he offers mercy and forgiveness to sinners, though he offers pardon and freeness of forgiveness, is also a mighty Savior, a glorious Redeemer, and he is worthy of all worship, praise, and glory. You see, your greatest sin, my friend, is not, well, whisper it in my ear, what is it for you? Drunkenness. No. Lying. No. It's refusal to bow the knee to Christ and own him Lord. It's the refusal to believe and trust him. I've had people with the audacity to say to me, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had your faith. Well, they don't want my faith. But what they're saying is to Jesus, I wish I could believe you. My friend, if you said that to me, you'd be offering me an insult. If you said to me, I wish I could believe what you're saying, that'd be an insult to me. I wouldn't look on you in pity. I'd say, what are you talking about? I'm telling you the truth. And when people say, I wish I could believe Jesus, you wish you could believe Jesus? If you don't believe Jesus, my friend, you will be damned. And I tell you this, Philippians 2, 9 and 11. When Christ comes again, I tell you, I can see it now. The Bible prophesies it. It prophesies it in the Old Testament. It prophesies it in the New Testament. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. That day will be this. This is what will happen. Every knee will bow. Not most people's knee. Not most. Every. Richard Dawkins. Those atheists. Those wise chaps on the telly who laugh at Jesus, they will bow the knee. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I quoted it in my prayer. If you confess Jesus Christ as King and Lord now, it is saving. But in that day, my friend, it will be judging. It will be the last words you ever say before you enter eternal night. This man that I refused, this man that I will not trust, this man that I will not love and take to be my Savior, this man is Lord and Lord of all. Praise God that Pilate was made to write that placard so that I can preach it tonight. He won't be king. He is king. Of course, that raises many issues. I can't answer all the questions about God's sovereignty and Christ's kingship. I can't answer them. I'm not here to answer questions. I'm here to preach the gospel. And the gospel before me tonight is this. Preach Jesus Christ as king. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Read, and I'll probably take a text or two from this to finish this series of discourses. I came preaching the kingdom, says Paul. And they said about these disciples, these apostles, you know, they're preaching another king. One called Jesus. No, my friend, he ain't another king. He's the only king. Mr. Caesar, where is he today? Mr. Hitler, where is he today? We're going to have a 1,000-year Reich. Oh, looks like it, doesn't it? Where's Mr. Mussolini today? Pol Pot, Mao Zedong. Where are they? Where's Khrushchev and Brezhnev and all these chaps? Where are they? Towering o'er the wrecks of time, Jesus stands. I don't preach a weak Redeemer. I don't preach a weak Savior. I don't preach an effeminate Savior. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, what a load of rubbish. He is the King, the glorious King, who in His love and grace and mercy for sinners emptied Himself of everything that He might suffer and bleed and die. And God said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and bid the King of glory enter. And Christ went up in power and majesty. Remember what the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up here? This same Jesus that you've seen go away will come again. Not in weakness and power, but He will rise in glory, with His vesture dipped in blood. I'm no prophet, but one day the heavens are going to split asunder, and the graves will be open. Think of it, my friend. And He shall come again. Not for salvation, no. Not to die again, no. Not to be rejected of men, but to call all men before Him to answer. My friend, will you take Jesus as your King now? Will you have this man? You remember what Abraham's servant, you remember he was sent to get a wife for Isaac. And he went back to Mesopotamia, and they found the woman there, yes. And, the family said to the woman, will you go with this man? And she said, I will. Can I ask you, my friend, will you take Christ as your King? Will you bow the knee to Him now? Will you say, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Thou King most wonderful, hail thou Galilean King. Thou didst suffer to release us. Thou didst free salvation bring. Forget the us. Thou didst suffer to redeem me. You can say it now, my friend. I'll tell you what the devil's saying to you. Do it when you get home. Don't you listen to him. Do it now. Hey? Do it now. Well, what have I got to do? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Make Jesus my King. I want Him. And I want to be His subject. I will obey Him. I will serve Him. I will love Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Will you put your arms around the Lord Jesus? Oh, you say, that's fanciful. You didn't, and you weren't listening when I read to you. Did you not hear how the psalmist, close Psalm 2, kissed the Son. I've done a bit of kissing in my time. Have you? Yes. Right. How do you kiss then? So stand about 4 yards apart. I put my arms around her. I don't know what you did. Am I unique? Put your arms around Jesus. Love Him. Trust Him. Call upon Him. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Kiss the Son. Otherwise, says the psalmist, otherwise his wrath can flare up in a minute. You do not know what a day is going to bring forth, my friend. I'm not being melodramatic. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know either. I've got my plans tomorrow. I'm taking somebody to see an old gentleman. That's my plan, but when I come next month, if I do, I can let you know whether the plan worked out. What am I saying? Time is a fleeting thing. And my Bible tells me now. Now is the time to close in with Jesus. Will you take Jesus home with you tonight as your King, your Lord and Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ, my King, my Savior. Don't leave him here, my friend. Don't leave him in this book. Yep, it's on that placard there. Great. No, my friend, take it off the placard and write it in your heart. Say it back to me. This man is my King. Say it to Jesus. Tell him, I want you as my King, my Lord and my Savior. That's why he came into the world, to save sinners. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be one of them? There's a hymn we sometimes sing about free grace. And it goes like this. If it's free grace, why, my soul, why not for thee? Me? Why not for thee? Let's change that. Why not for me? Can you give me a reason why it might not be for you? Are you a very bad sinner? Ah, well, I've got a greater Savior than your sin. Ah, I tell you that. You can't outdo his saving power. I don't care what your sins are. He can overcome the greatest sin. He does overcome the greatest sin. I tell you again, the greatest sin is to refuse him. So don't do that. But if you've refused him before, he'll still take you now. I'm loath to leave you, my friend, but I'm not going to press on. I'll have to leave it to God's Spirit. After all, he knows how to do it. But oh, I do urge you, take Jesus as your King, Lord and Savior. The King of love, my Shepherd is, my Savior is. His goodness faileth never. Prove it, my friend. Prove it, I urge you. May God bless this discourse to us all. Amen.